In this week's Service Tech segment, I want to remind you, we've been talking over the last few weeks about getting the right mindset, the prosperity mindset for service technicians. Now that we've got the foundation laid and you understand why it's so important to have the right mindset, I want to put those concepts into action. In this first segment, I'm going to talk to you about using the specific mindset to set your goals in the beginning of the fear process. The F stands for focus.
Once you kind of understand this concept that there's a direct relationship between, you know, what's in the box, what's in your mind, and what's going on in your life, the natural question is, you know, what do I do about it? Once you realize, wow, my financial condition is a reflection of my thoughts about finances, my relationships are a reflection of, you know, what I think about relationships, my health is a reflection of what I think about health and fitness. Once you realize that, then you gotta stop and consider, well, what do I do about it? How do I change the contents of the box? Well, fortunately, I've developed a very simple process to help you analyze what's in the box and to change the things that you might need to change. The process is called The Upside of Fear. It's actually the title of my first book. And FEAR is an acronym for Focus, Emotional Commitment, Action, and Responsibility. The first step is to get focused. You gotta figure out, what do I really want? What do I want with my money? What do I want with my relationships? What do I want with my mental, spiritual, or physical health? You gotta get really clear. One of my favorite books is Think and Grow Rich, written by Napoleon Hill. And in that book, 100 years ago, Napoleon Hill outlines the 17 characteristics of really successful people. And the very first characteristic is what he called a definite purpose. You gotta have a specific purpose. You gotta have focus. You gotta know exactly what you want out of your relationships, out of your finances, out of every area of your life. So that's the first step. You gotta get focused on what you want. Then you gotta get focused on, what do I need to do to get the things that I want? I mean, obviously, if you figure out what you want, you gotta figure out a couple of things, one or two things. Don't overcomplicate it. You don't want 50 things, because the confused mind says no. You gotta identify just one or two things that, if you do on a consistent basis, will give you the things that you want. So get focused on what you want, get focused on what you gotta do, and then, of course, you have to address the limiting beliefs. You gotta look at the junk in the trunk. What ideas might be holding you back? What ideas might be causing conflict in your mind about money or relationships? You gotta identify these limiting beliefs and make sure the things you're thinking today are consistent with what you want today, not what somebody else might have wanted for you 20 or 30 years ago. So that's the focus step.
Now, to get some additional perspective, I want to share this clip with you from Gary Ellix that talks about rising tides lift all boats and how important it is to have the right mindset and how personal goals can integrate with the company goals.
In this particular video segment, we're going to talk about technician goal setting and how we want to align the technician goal setting with the service department goals or the company specific goals, so that we have, in concert, working together, the individual technicians setting their own goals, working with the service management and the company, so we create that idea of having consistency and alignment. So a couple things to think about. A lot of technicians rely on the company to assign goals. And so as a service technician, what I would like you to do is, I want you to think about that prosperity mindset that we've talked about. I want you to think about the attitude that we talked about and how we're going to approach the overall process of doing your craft, your work, and so forth. So I think it's imperative that we set our own goals. And we're going to define those goals based on the ideas of what our interests are, our compensation, and how we want to actually sort of take away the rewards, not just money, but the idea that we have job satisfaction, we're doing things that are appropriate, you know, in the community and so forth. So your goals need to be your goals, and the company's goals then are going to be set, and there should be that alignment. So I'd like you to consider the principle of stretch goals, which is, you know, set yourself a target that might be a little bit farther out there than what the company target looks like. And based on that principle, your mind will begin collecting data and information that will allow you to hopefully achieve some of those objectives. So now every company will be different as well. So what you and my company's goal setting process are may be quite different. So I'm going to take you over to the whiteboard. We're going to go through some very specific ideas about how we look at our service department and our goal setting process with our service technicians. And we simply encourage the guys to sit down and map out their own goal setting process as it attaches to the company's specific goals. So no one technician or no one individual is going to be fantastic at every single thing that there is in life. So some technicians are granted the responsibilities and have the ability within the company to sell. Other technicians may not have had application or ductwork experience training yet, so we may not allow them to sell. we may have a senior selling technician arrive and support that process, or some companies might have a lead turnover process. It's kind of how we do it. So we got guys that are trained and ready to sell, and we've got guys that are not. So depending on how you're set up in your company and how your structure of your business is organized, you really just should organize your goal setting process to match what we would consider to be the business model. And then the final thing we're going to talk about on the whiteboard is most service technicians, unfortunately, have not been trained to be able to understand the importance of creating the transaction and how that actually affects the company. So I'm going to train you today on how the goal setting process lines up with the overall company process of creating a profit in service. So we're all on the same page that when we ask a technician to do something in a particular way, it's not because we're trying to be, you know, vindictive, or we want to, you know, do it this particular way because we have no rationale. In fact, there is a very definite rationale, and it has to do with how the income statement of a company produces a profit, how cash flow works. And essentially, when we understand that, my experience has been when I have my technicians as a group fully aware of why we're doing things the way we're doing them, the idea of establishing a goal or taking an approach to, you know, solving a problem, everybody is in the canoe together and we're all understanding what's going on, so the alignment is much more effective.
Now that you have a pretty good idea of the mindset and how that applies to goals and making sure that your goals integrate with the company goals, I want you to watch Gary Ellis as he discusses what are the specific goals that you should have as a service technician.
So first and foremost, I want to talk through, we've basically got about 10 areas of goal setting process here today. Once again, you may not have all of these in your company. These are absolutely what we would consider to be goals, metrics, and measurement processes within the framework of our business. So plumbing will be slightly different than HVAC. Electrical will be different yet again. So what we're talking about here is just a basic HVAC process. So the first goal would be average ticket. And that's going to be somewhat based on the price that a company has set in the marketplace. But one of the things that we know is that in the technician communication and sales process, we need to be able to establish the repairs today that we have to deal with. And what we need to do is we need to do an absolutely thorough diagnostic analysis on the system. So oftentimes technicians get caught up in the peak season and they establish a repair and they don't go through the full diagnostic process and create the opportunities for recommendations based on the idea of what's going on. In Weldon's sales process, you know, he talks about, if I was a doctor and I knew you had a, you know, a disease that was harmful to you and I was only there to diagnose a cold, but I discovered that there was a disease, wouldn't you want to know about that so that you could deal with it and fix it? And so we talk about the same thing with a diagnostic analysis. We need to be sure that we're giving the homeowner the information that they need in order to make the informed decision. So the base idea of saying, hey, these are the absolute repairs that need to be fixed today to repair the machine, to repair the total comfort system. But if you see duct modification issues, airflow issues, humidity control, dehumidification, areas of concern inside of the system that maybe you've got a pitted contactor that's there that hasn't failed yet, but you're essentially concerned that it might, we want to make sure that we do a diagnostic analysis. And so that affects the average ticket, because many customers will simply say, well, you're here, what's it cost? And yeah, go ahead and effect the repairs, making the assumption, of course, we have the part on the truck. So when we look at the average ticket, we're going to put a number up here, and we're going to say that that should be no less than $350. And really, you should be thinking about that more in terms of $450. And so the idea is, you're not selling people anything. You're educating them, you're creating awareness based on a foundation of a quality diagnostic analysis. So the first goal for a technician has to be, well, if I run X amount of calls in a year, let's just assume for a moment that the average service call is 2 hours, hour travel time, diagnostic analysis, and an hour to actually effect a repair. And that's an average. So obviously some calls are going to run shorter, some calls are going to run longer. But the main question we have then is, you know, for that 2 hours, how does that produce, you know, revenue and overall gross profit dollars and margin, EBIT, what we call earnings before interest and taxes, profit for the company? So we'll get to that in a bit. But what happens is when this ticket is lower than this, the company really won't have the money or the funds in the service business to cover up the overhead, because it's an expensive business to operate, and I'll show you exactly what that means later. Second goal, service agreement opportunities and the resulting closure rate. So we're going to track service agreement opportunities. Any customer that's essentially a new customer that has a piece of equipment or a total comfort system, even plumbing, that is not currently in our database that we, you know, we've acquired through some form of marketing becomes an opportunity for us. Now, if it's a rental property, we wouldn't necessarily consider that an opportunity. But then if it's a standard home, single family home, and in a marketplace that we essentially are target marketing, anytime we look at that as an opportunity, we want to know what the closure rates are. So the service agreement platform itself is going to dictate, based on price, the training that we've done with you as the service group, and how you're approaching the benefit package as a company, what the closure rates are. The standard key performance indicator in the industry historically has been 25% closure rates. So meaning that if you had 100 calls that were legitimate opportunities, these are not rental properties or people that are moving or, you know, the house is for sale. If that has 100 as a potential consuming pattern, that 25% would be the closure rate. Now, in our company, we set that goal entirely differently. And so the technician would have to set his own goal based on the standard that they feel their knowledge allows them to communicate based on the education of the homeowner. So for us, this number up here is 50%. We have set the price of the service agreement low enough that we think that with the discount that we offer inside of the service call, when we offer that discount, it's 20% in our business. So on a $500 repair, you're going to get a $100 discount if you join the club. So economically speaking, if the price of the agreement is $150, the customer would have to give me an extra $50 on the call today to get in the club. Then the question becomes, what are the club benefits? So a 50% closure rate on legitimate opportunities is not too much to ask, given that most of the repairs are going to fall into a category where the customer just has to give us a few extra dollars. They're nominal dollars. Obviously, it's a crisis, and the homeowner is not in a happy place. But if we teach the technicians like you to be able to repair the customer first, create that mindset with the customer that, hey, you're the expert and you've got this, and we're going to talk through that in different videos and different segments. But the idea would be that the customer will eventually come off of the ledge, and they'll start looking at the value that you're presenting in the service club agreement, and they're going to say, you know what, I'm interested in that, sign me up. And so 50% would be our minimum target. I can tell you right now our company runs over 70%. Well, the target for the technician is 50. That's how we're going to pay the technician. So if you're setting your own goals, you have to decide, well, how is the company pricing? How are the benefit packages? What's the process that I use to consumer educate and create the benefit profile, that what we call the value chain for the client? What are their interests, and are they going to be around for a period of time?